Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today's show will cover the in sickness and in health marriage vow, but from a unique and comedic perspective. I'll be talking with Catholic humorist and author Matt Weber about his book, Operating on Faith, which was inspired by a dire medical emergency he experienced a few months after he got married. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. Very few people could write a book about almost dying and make it funny, but Matt Weber is one of those people. Matt is a humorist who you might know from his work on CatholicTV.com or from his first book, Fearing the Stigmata, which we discussed on this show. Well, a few months after marrying his wife, Nell, the stomach problems that had been plaguing Matt for a while unexpectedly hit crisis mode and required life-saving surgery. The happy-go-lucky Catholic found himself needing the family, friends, and faith he had always relied on in a more important way than he ever could have imagined. Matt shares his story in the book Operating on Faith. So to tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Matt Weber. Matt, thanks so much for being on the show again.
Tony, great to be back and nice to hear from you again.
Sure. Well, the last time you were on the show, you were a few months away from getting married. You'd written a successful book called Fearing the Stigmata, and all was right with the world. Then a short time later, you get married, and then a few months later, you almost die. So this is a pretty dramatic life turn you're taking. But first, start me with the all was right with the world part of your story. Because in the book, you're talking about, meeting and marrying your fiancée, Nell, who you mentioned during our last interview. Tell me a little bit about her. Because in a way, this book is something of a love letter to her. How did you meet?
So we met in graduate school. We were both getting our master's degree from Harvard, and it was ironically the first non-Catholic school I've ever attended. And sure enough, I beat my Catholic wife there. So that was kind of a surprise, but a delight. And you know, everything was going good. And I wouldn't even just say everything was going good that year, my 29th year. I would say things were going good for 29 straight years. I mean, I really hadn't experienced any real hardship, and I hadn't had, you know, the worst thing that happened to me, maybe I broke my thumb once, and everything was nice. And my 29th year, I got engaged, then I got married, and we went on a honeymoon to Costa Rica, we bought a house, we adopted a dog. And if you could script out my life, if I was the author of my life, that's exactly what I would have hoped was being written about it,
right?
And exactly what I would have hoped as a child and just as an adult. This is where I would like my life to be. Everything's great, and there's no drama, no major problems.
And then suddenly drama appears in the...
Yes.
Well, a lot of it has to do with these stomach issues. Have they been plaguing you for a long time, or did it come on suddenly?
Yeah, so I was having stomach issues for maybe about a year, but they were on and off. And it's kind of like one of those pains where you get, you go, well, I wonder if that's just a passing thing. And it was lingering. It kept going and going and going, to the point where, you know, so I marry my wife in June, and we take the vows in sickness and in health. some real foreshadowing there for her, unfortunately. But the stomach thing just never went away, to the point where I really couldn't eat anything over the course of like a day. So I would go, I'd wake up, I'd have something, and none of it would stay down, and I'd be throwing it up. And all of a sudden, I find myself down like 20 or 30 pounds.
Wow.
And sort of at the hospital doing an endoscopy, trying to figure out what's going on. And then right from this endoscopy, which is essentially like they stick a camera down your throat to see what's going on in your stomach, I was rushed to the emergency room at Beth Israel Deaconess, had a bottom third of my stomach removed, was in the acute care center for about 8 or 9 days. I had this giant cut down the side, down like my entire abdomen. And again, this is from a guy who's literally, like, I'm not going to say I've never experienced hardship, but this was like literally from everything Andy Griffith's show, Leave It to Beaver, wonderful, to like some sort of, you know, Kardashian reality show where tables are being flipped. And all of a sudden I'm sitting here in this hospital, looking down, seeing 40 staples in my stomach,
wow,
seeing my parents and my wife sitting around me, praying, seeing myself emaciated. I hadn't shaved. At this point, I had lost now about 50 pounds. I went from 205 to about 155.
Oh my goodness. I couldn't
even recognize myself. And you don't really sleep much when you're in a hospital.
Yeah.
And they kept saying, don't take any pain medication. It'll only take it if you need it. But the longer you take it, the longer you'll stay in the hospital. So after the first day, I wasn't taking any of the morphine or any of that stuff. So it was like I was up 24/7. I mean, this was like really, really, really trying on my on me physically. And eventually after day three or four in the hospital, a really no sleep, great amounts of pain, and trying to really assess what had just happened to me. That's when the spiritual component, the religious component comes in. And I sort of had a very, very even scarier moment, which is when, you know, I tried to pray one night. You know, and I couldn't even remember the words of the Hail Mary, and that was one of the more scary things in my life.
Wow. Wow. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Matt Weber about his book, Operating on Faith, A Painfully True Love Story. Well, like you've been saying, up until this point, you've lived a good life, good son, good brother, you're working for the church. But when you endured this trial, did you have this conversation with God asking, like, why did you let this happen to me? I deserve better than this.
I mean, you know, I had read my Job, and I've heard, you know, why good things, why do bad things happen to good people, and I know that, you know, life isn't always fair, and I felt pretty blessed. It, you know, in the moment, I wasn't feeling so sorry for myself because I was just so focused on getting better and taking care of the people who are my caretakers, too. I had to put on a brave face for when my mother and father come in from Western Massachusetts. They drive 2 hours to see me in the hospital, and they're looking at me in this forlorn, oh, my God, this is our son. My wife, she's taking off, you know, many, many days of school to come in and just sit next to me. She's looking forlorn. So there's a part of me that's trying to, like, act braver than I actually feel and just trying to kind of figure out, well, what is it that I'm going to do now? How is it that I'm going to kind of take care of these people? And how do I manage to get through this? So once you get through all that, you get out of the hospital, I had a couple post-operative infections, then that's when I start to think, okay, now that I can reflect on all this, now that I can look back, why did this happen? And it's in that sort of reflective period that I write about this in my book, that I really do feel like wisdom happens in reflection. And there's a great T.S. Eliot line that says, I had the experience, but I missed the meaning. And I put that quote in my book, and I think, you know, I had this experience, and in the experience, I wasn't looking for the meaning. In the experience, I was actually just experiencing it and trying to keep moving and trying to get over this. But it's in the reflection of the experience that I really thought, okay, God, well, what was this all about? You hadn't done this to me yet. Why did this happen? What did I learn from this? And you can kind of go in two different ways. You can get real bitter, and you can hate God, and you can feel like he let you down, or you can feel like, you know, your faith, you know, if you think you're a good person and you do good in the world, and then you're not, like, rewarded with, you know, good health or whatever. Like, that to me is not the way I took it. I thought, okay, so this was bad. This didn't work out. What is it that I can learn? What is the good? What is the lemonade that I can pull out of these lemons? And in many ways, Tony, it's this book. I thought, what is it that happened to me in this? It ended up being, you know, obviously a long time in the hospital, about 40 days of recovery out of work. And then, you know, if you read the book, there even some other bad things happened to me later on that year. What is it that I can find in all of these experiences of mine that I think can help other people? So if my trauma and my pain can be reflected upon, shared out through this book, so that other people can go, you know what? Something like that happened to me, and that reminds me of how I overcame it. Or that reminds me of, oh, that's an interesting way to look at an experience in that. If I can take all the things that happened to me and make it into some positive point for someone else, then I'm actually glad it happened, because it ends up being something that helps other people.
Right, right. So basically, you're living out this Christopher motto that it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. This book is your effort to light that candle.
That's right. This book is that candle. And the darkness was, you know, that really tough year. And it's the funniest thing, because you think if you're writing that narrative, Tony, your first year of marriage, they call it the honeymoon phase, like everything good happens. I mean, one of the chapters of my book is called What Happened in the Honeymoon Suite. on my wedding night. And that's, you know, you can assume what happens that, but I promise you that it, but what you assume is incorrect. I just barfed all over the place. And my poor wife was just trying to move the wedding dress away from all the puke. And it was just this awful thing of like, the darkness was cursed, but it wasn't continually cursed. And in the long run, now a couple years out of that experience, this happened in 2013, it's now 2016, I am trying to not just be the candle, but share that candle light with so many other people.
Right. I'm talking to Matt Weber. His book is Operating on Faith, A Painfully True Love Story. Now, you mentioned God before, and I'm curious, how would you say your either perception of God or relationship with God has evolved from pre-stomach surgery to post-stomach surgery?
Well, a lot of it is very much tied into my relationship with my wife. And my wife is one of, you know, she's one of like the best people in the world. She's my best friend. She's my heart and she's my soul. And she's just everything that I think is good with the world. And in very many ways, I write about this in the book too. I think like it's easy to pray to Jesus and pray to God and to have that sort of relationship when you're sick and when you're in need. But it's also sometimes not everyone sees that in the caretaker, in your wife, in all the things that they do for you, that is that person living out the words and deeds and acts of Jesus Christ. And I think my relationship with God was really strengthened in that I just saw God and Jesus and everything that is good in the Bible, everything that we hear in gospel played out in my wife's words and deeds and actions. And my relationship was strengthened with God based on the relationship that was strengthened with my wife. Mm-hmm. And it was this very, very unique sort of new way in which I was experiencing God through this new vow that I had taken with my wife and seeing her love and seeing all of the things that she was doing for me. And that includes, you know, in good times and in bad, mm-hmm. seeing all the sort of human components, but also very much a lot of the godly components of my relationship with my wife and having that strengthen my broader relationship with God. It was a really marvelous thing.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute to continue my conversation with Matt Weber. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Every once in a while, we come face to face with someone who has borne the weight of the world on their shoulders without losing hope or crumbling under the pressure. How are some people able to cope in circumstances that would debilitate the rest of us? The short answer is that their perseverance is grounded in faith. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Persevering Through Pain and Struggle. It shares stories and reflections that will help you endure challenging times by relying on the promise of God's love. To request your free copy of Persevering Through Pain and Struggle, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with humorist and author Matt Weber about his book, Operating on Faith, which was inspired by a dire medical emergency he experienced a few months after he got married. It's going to be obvious to anyone who reads Operating on Faith that you chose well when it comes to your wife. So I'm curious, how did you know that you wanted to spend the rest of your life with her? Was it a sudden decision, or did you just kind of see qualities over time in her?
Yeah, that's a hard thing. I mean, there's always all these little points and experiences where you recognize there's something special about this person. Our first date was actually at a Boston Red Sox game.
Mm-hmm.
And someone once told me, said, you don't take a first date to a baseball game. Those games can last 4.5 hours, and you're stuck next to them if after the first inning things aren't going well. and that was a long inning, a long game that went into extra innings, and it felt like it was a 5-second game. And it was just, there was something really special about just spending time with her,
mm-hmm.
and about being with her. And I referenced a couple of times of just her kindness being so vivid and wonderful throughout the book. And in many ways, like this book, I wanted to write for everyone, but mm-hmm. my primary reader, even if no one buys this book, and I obviously hope people buy this book, because I think I'm proud of it, and I would like Loyola Press to be successful. But my main audience was just one person.
Yeah.
I wanted this to be a 35,000 word thank you note to my wife, and I wanted her to know just how grateful I am for how kind she was to me, and that I didn't take it for granted.
No.
You can't see me, and I'm getting a little teary.
No, we can hear it, Matt. Again, it's true from reading the book. It's just very effective and emotional to see how she takes care of you. And you did give her some word space at the end, because she writes her own personal reflection on this, which I thought was a nice touch. But I hope everybody who's listening buys the book Operating on Faith by Matt Weber, and it's published by Loyola Press. And because it's just it's a human story. And like you said, I think all of us can relate to it. And one of the things I admire about the book and about you personally, and I think the listeners right now are getting a sense of that, is how you can inject humor into everything, even in the painful parts of your life. Is that just who you are?
Yeah, I think humor is, to me, one of the best ways to connect with people. I didn't want this book to be just a bunch of chapters of me whining about my my pain and go, oh yeah, woe is me. I wanted there to be that there were little moments in between where it's like, you know what, things are really not going well,
mm-hmm.
but you can still find some joy in that. And I guess that's the way I approach most of life. If you don't inject humor, if you don't bring in that sort of joy component, I mean, this is very much in Father Jim Martin's sort of book. It's Pope Francis, for that matter, too. You need to have joy in all components. And back to that darkness, Tony, I think the light, the candle in the darkness can be that joy, that joke, that laughter. That's something to sort of break the ice when some things are really bad. To have a little joke in there is a good way to sort of bring things back down to a much more positive level. So, yeah, I try and scatter and sprinkle throughout the book as many fun and enjoyable, laugh-worthy moments that I can remember from the experience, including some that I don't really remember either that my wife and my mother have recalled.
Well, along those same lines, you were featured in a CBS News documentary. I think it was called What's So Funny About Religion? Was that the name of it?
That's right, yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about that documentary and your involvement.
So, yeah, they featured Father Jim Martin. They featured Lewis Black. They featured, I think, a Presbyterian minister in New York who's also a stand-up comedian, and then a couple guys who are doing comedy from a sort of Muslim perspective. And it was just trying to look at religion, and a lot of people look at religion as doom and gloom and what you can't do and very serious. And they took, it was a great piece, a great, great CBS documentary that looked at religion from a different perspective and said, there's a lot of fun and laughter and jokes and humor in this whole prospect of experiencing religion. And I was fortunate enough to be asked to be part of that documentary. And I enjoyed sharing my perspective. I mean, I write the books for Loyola Press, but I also have a TV show on Catholic TV called The Lens. And that show, I'm trying to always inject as much humor and joy in the experience of looking at what's happening in faith-based culture through a faith-based lens, but also having fun in the process. I like to think if you're having fun reading the book, or if you're seeing me and my co-host on a TV show having fun, it's almost natural for you to also feel like you're part of that fun, too.
Yeah.
And who doesn't like to have fun, Tony? I mean, even right now, I'm having fun, right?
Absolutely. And I watched The Lens online yesterday, and I had fun. I enjoyed watching it.
Good. Yeah. And let me tell you, Tony, I'm gonna compliment you here. I'm going to start writing more books, I think, just to be interviewed by you more, because I really like chatting with you.
Well, it sounds good, because it sounds like you have an interesting enough life to warrant more books. So go for that, Matt.
Okay, good.
Well, you mentioned The Lens before, and I'm talking to Matt Weber. His book is called Operating on Faith, The True Love Story. He mentioned before he's also the host of a talk show on CatholicTV.com called The Lens. Before The Lens, you did kind of these short video segments called A Word with Weber. But The Lens, you've gone the full half hour route, and you've got a team around you, and it reminds me a little bit of Letterman and the late night kind of shows approach. What made you want to go the full half hour route and kind of take that more comedic approach?
Well, I think, in Catholic media, some people are afraid to try comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, I try comedy all the time. And I'm going to tell you, 50% of the time it works, and 50% of the time I fall flat on my face. Comedy is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people shy away from it. It's easier to do things that you don't put yourself out there in the comedic world. I think for me, comedy is something that I enjoy participating in. I enjoy experiencing it. And with Catholicism and comedy, or Catholicism and humor, I think it is a unique hybrid that if you can do it right, you can appeal to a lot of people, mm-hmm. a lot of people who maybe are going to be pulled in by the comedy component and stay for the religion rather than pulled in by the religion and stay for the comedy. I think you can connect with people in the humorous space. I think about like Sesame Street and their model, mm-hmm. where people are watching that show because, hey, Grover is entertaining and Elmo's funny and there's good songs. And then at the end of the hour, they've also learned something.
Yeah.
And I guess I like to think that, hey, if people come in for my half-hour show, and yeah, you're right, I've modeled it after Letterman and a little bit of The Daily Show and Colbert, and just trying to kind of be something current and modern. I like to think that if people are flipping through their channel or see it in their Twitter feed and they see something funny happening, maybe they haven't been to church in 2 or 3 years. And then they'll watch this, and this will be that sort of entree either back into some sort of new relationship with God or faith, or they don't have to go to church after watching our show, but just to be aware that, hey, you know, God and a faith life and all that stuff, it's being talked about, and it's something for you to maybe consider as well.
Yeah, and well, one of the things I really liked about the show is, on one of the episodes I watched yesterday, you were telling a story about you were driving around searching for gas and you couldn't find any, and when you were finished with the story, you linked it to the need for spiritual refueling. So I like how you take something secular and then somehow you can find a way to relate it to the spiritual. Do you see a lot of things in life that are maybe people would see as a secular experience, but you can find a link to the spiritual to it?
Yeah, absolutely. Almost entirely, because, I mean, so my full-time job is I'm not working in a Catholic environment. Mm-hmm. I used to be in Catholic environments my entire life. I used to go, you know, I went to Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, Catholic college, Catholic grad school. And at age 24, 25, I started over at Harvard. And it was one of these places where it wasn't pro forma to either be Catholic or talk about religion. So for me, I like sort of living in the secular world and finding the religious components in it. And it's very easy for me to see so much of my faith and so much of our universal religious values and spirituality in much of the work that I do, much of the life that I live, and then bringing it over into the religious space to reflect upon it.
Right.
And I guess there's every day, there's like 2 or 3 things that I go, oh, that could be a segment on the Lent, or that could be a word with Weber, or that could be a new chapter of a new book, because it's back to that T.S. Eliot quote, I had the experience, but I missed the meaning. I am always constantly searching for meaning. And when you have that radar out, when you have that antenna on your head that's going, hey, meaning searching, you know, like looking for how this connects to a broader message, then you'd be really surprised what you do experience in your life. And upon reflection, what you can kind of learn from that and how much wiser that you can probably become.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Matt Weber about his book, Operating on Faith, A Painfully True Love Story, and about his talk show, The Lens, which is on CatholicTV.com. I just want to, since we're in the season of Lent, I just want to touch on one other thing. Your sister, Carrie, wrote a book called Mercy in the City, in which she decided to live out the corporal works of mercy over the 40 days of Lent. I'm curious, with her and the family, do you feel extra pressure to come up with some kind of major Lenten practice like that? How do you live out Lent?
Wow. So yeah, I mean, Carrie and I, we publicly act like we're all friends and we love each other, but we're really secret enemies. So I actually boycott Lent because of her good work and her mercy stuff. I just totally don't do anything. Like, I don't do the ashes. I don't make any Lenten things. No, I'm just kidding. You know, that's an interesting thing. Also, this much, I don't feel any pressure or competitiveness with her. I just feel a great sense of awe and love for her that, you know what, here's my sister, and she's not that much older than me. In fact, many people thought we were twins for most of our lives. We kind of look alike. She is someone who inspires me, and she's someone who I have, you know, obviously read her book and seen what America Media is doing with how to interact with Lent and the corporal works of mercy. And it makes me want to just go, you know what, I'm not looking to compete with that. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. I'm going to jump on Carrie's wave and do those things. And every time, again, she's so good about this. She takes and paints with real-world examples how to live out the corporal works of mercy. When I see a homeless person in Harvard Square every day, multiple times a day, it is the message of my sister, Carrie, true mercy in the city, where I go, that is a person. That is a person that I can help, that I can at least look in the eyes and say, how are you doing, even if I don't give them change. And, you know, I absolutely love the example that she set. And, yeah, I mean, clearly she's I'm a big fan of hers, and she's someone that that inspires me to want to do good and be good in the world.
Right, right. And Carrie's book is Mercy in the City, also by Loyola Press, who is Matt's publisher. And Matt, in our closing seconds, just tell us, what do you hope readers get out of Operating on Faith?
I hope readers can relate to it. I really hope that there's something. If I have a scar on my body and I show it to a friend and they go, you know what, I've got one too. And I like this to be the literary equivalent of sharing scar stories. I'm saying, hey, this happened to me, and then maybe that'll drum up some emotions about how something happened to them. And then within those conversations, we can talk about what we've learned from these experiences. And maybe if you're listening or if you're going to buy the book, you didn't have 30% of your stomach removed. Maybe you overcame cancer, or maybe you are dealing with some major medical issues right now that are much worse than a 10-day stomach surgery. I'm hoping that you can find some sort of support and some sort of faith and a loving component in the reading of this book. And then, of course, along the way, getting a couple laughs in the process.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I've been talking to Matt Weber about his book, Operating on Faith, A Painfully True Love Story. If you listen to our interview today, Matt in the book is basically like Matt on the radio. He can share serious stories, emotional stories, but inject them with humor, and that's what this is. It's really a story of his maturation as a Catholic, his evolution as a Catholic, and his relationship to God, and how he came to see meaning in the moments of pain in his life, and really received grace from his wife, Nell, and from all the family and people around him. So pick up Operating on Faith by Matt Weber. And Matt, thanks so much for writing the book and for sharing the story today.
Tony, thank you so much. Love the Christophers, and you're a top-notch interview.
Thank you so much. In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.